All right, good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing a local podcast. Good morning. It is November 23rd, 2023. Beautiful day here on the East Coast. Hope it's terrific wherever you are at. It is Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Hope everyone's having an awesome day. It's a little early, so I'm sure most of us haven't quite gotten started yet. I got up this morning. I had to prep the bird. My daughter and I we made a brine the other day, and it's been brining for a day. I would have brined it for a little longer. My father-in-law came by and dumped my brine. He's like, "It's going to get too salty." I don't think it would have, but you know what? I'm not here to fight. I'm not here to argue about it. He dumped it. It's fine. I actually rinsed the bird this morning, and you know, all the great little things we do to turkeys, poor turkeys, shove butter up under its skin, put some seasoning on the outside, got it all ready. And then I told my wife, I'm going to do a podcast. I haven't done a podcast in a few days. We did go to Connecticut. We left last Saturday. I'm sure I talked about it at some point. We left last Saturday, made a few adjustments in the schedule this year, decided not to work on Saturday, just leave early Saturday morning for Connecticut. It's not a tricky drive, but it's one of those, if you go at one time, it can be a super long time. If you leave at a certain time, it can go pretty smoothly. We actually left pretty early, and it actually went pretty smoothly. And so we were grateful for that, able to get up to Connecticut, and then got to hang out, got to go to the city. Ooh, the city was great. I love going to the city. Problem with the city now, it smells all like skunk butt. Everywhere you go in New York City, it smells like skunk butt. And my mother-in-law was like, "It always smells like skunks." And I'm like, "Yeah, that's skunk butt. That's people smoking pot." It is big time up there. I'm sure smoking pot's big time everywhere, but just I kept thinking, "My God, I smell skunk butt." So funny. But we you know, typically we'll go to New York City with my in-laws and you know, we'll go to a play or we go see the Rockettes or we do something, you know. A lot of the times sort of expensive. And this year I was like, you know, let's not do that. Let's, you know, there's no need to go dump a lot of money up in New York City. Why don't we try doing some something different that doesn't cost a lot of money? And it actually was great. We went up and hung out at the public library, which is probably not on the top of the list of things you'd want to do when you go to New York City, but very interesting. I find that stuff to be very interesting. There were some cool old letters that were in there that were written from, I couldn't even figure out the date, but you know, I'm always interested to see what was the top of the list of problems going on back in the late 1800s. And so that was fun. And then we went to the St. Patrick's Cathedral, which was just, I don't know, very emotional. You know, I don't know if you've ever been to St. Patrick's Cathedral in New York City. I know it's not the biggest one, but it is beautiful. And just in awe of, you know, the hands that built that thing, man. It is just crazy. And it was really beautiful. And it was nice to go up there with my in-laws and my kids, me and Sam. We got to light a candle. And we got to, there was this little, it was very interesting. First of all, a lot of energy in there for me, and just kind of walking through, and there's this one place where you can kind of, it's almost like a little nook in the wall, and it has this leather kneeler, right, and you can just see the two knee prints from however many people have put their knees down on that and prayed or whatever it is one does in the little nook there. And I went in and I just, it was so much energy. I have never, you know, I'm not a huge religious person. I appreciate it. I love it. I love the idea. But I think it's everyone's personal journey. And I think it's wild, all the different versions and you know, what goes on with religion, right? But, you know, putting all that aside, I set my knees down in this little nook and I could just, I felt like I was covered in this heavy blanket. And I didn't know what to say, right? I didn't know what to pray. And, you know, I said, you know, I just said, "Dear Lord, you know, just watch over us and keep us safe, man."
Yeah, yeah, me. Want to repent, you know? God up, God up. For real. Time serious. You don't know. God up, God up, God up. Check the state of the world we live in, can't you see it's a crying shame? Leadership fails before it begins, motivated by personal gains. Tempers flare and patience wear thin, finger pointing, but who is to blame? Repent, 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 repent. Cause we're two steps away from a real disaster. Think they're the boss, but who are the master? Life's at a pace, everything's much faster. Need to slow down and pray. Give them two steps away from a real disaster. Think they're the boss, but who are the master? Life's at a pace, everything's much faster. Need to slow down and pray. Fighting for what they did not create, crying peace while inflicting pain. Men deciding another man's fate, claiming power in their God's name. Words of love, but their actions speak hate. Seems like mankind has gone insane. Repent, repent, repent. Repent, cause we're two steps away from a real disaster. Think they're the boss, but who are the master? Right. Life's at a pace, everything's much faster. Need to slow down and pray.
Give them.
Two steps away from a real disaster. Think they're the boss, but who are the master? Life's at a pace, everything's much faster. Need to slow down and pray.
Yes, slow down and pray. That's a Shaggy. You know, one of the fun things about doing a long drive is you go digging into old music, and I forgot all about old Shaggy, and so that is Repent, and that's a great song. But it was interesting, you know, kind of getting in there and not really knowing, you know, what to say or pray. And one of the things I've learned in recovery and my journey is I don't pray for anything. I don't pray for anything. I just say thank you. I did ask to be, you know, ask the Lord to watch over us, right? If you've got the time, right? If you've got the time and you can keep an eye on us, we appreciate it. You know, one of the things I've learned over time is just because something bad happens doesn't always mean that that's bad. And just sometimes when things that are good doesn't always mean it's good. And so that's the confusing part for me is what to pray for, is because I'm not sure if I'm praying for something that in my mind seems good, which in turn is bad. And vice versa. But it was great to go there. I am a big fan of history. I'm a big fan you know, what got us here, whether it was from the very beginning or what got us here in our country. But it is interesting to see, you know, what happens with folks, right, and how we've evolved and where we've come from and where we're headed. And I don't know. It's weird. I personally, you know, and I'm not going to make this a whole thing, but I'm a little, you know, I feel worried. I'm worried, you know. I've shared before that a lot of the problems that I've ever had in my life are all fear-based, right? Fear started all of this. It's a simple solution, or it's a simple idea, too simple for me early on in recovery, the idea that all this is because of fear. That wouldn't make sense to me. But as I have gotten older and evolved and gotten time in this program, I'm realizing more and more that everything in my life is based on or based in, right, fear, you know. And it's kind of an eye-opening revelation for me. I didn't realize it. And I don't realize how I behave and react when I live in fear. And it's been very interesting. And I don't want to live in fear. Right. And, you know, I went to a buddy of mine celebrated his first year, and, you know, congratulations to him. It is a, it's an awesome deal. Him and I used to do some serious drinking and some serious drugging. I remember moving to this area and meeting him and hanging out in a local bar downtown and just, you know, getting obliterated. And so our paths have been different. But he is sober today, and he celebrated his first year, and I was super happy and grateful to see that happen for him. And I got to go to his he's celebrating actually on Sunday. You know, my buddy, he's big time, right? So he's going to celebrate a couple times, and I, you know, sometimes you just know that about a person, and I appreciate that. You know, sometimes I get a little cynical when people put so much into celebrating, because you know, it's one of those things, right? You can't give yourself, you can't pull a muscle patting yourself on the back, right? Yeah, this isn't about success, right? This is just about, for me at least, understanding and the evolution of getting sober and that spiritual adjustment and just realizing that it is a spiritual malady, right? You know, a lot of the times, and this happened the other night, you know, the conversation comes up basically saying, you know, alcohol was sort of the reason, right? And, you know, when people talk about how God took the wheel and saved me, I mean, did he? Right? Because, you know, what would be the ultimate save, right? Like if God turned the wheel into a wall and you died and then you got to be with God, right? Because that's sort of the whole goal, is to be free of this body and live in this place in heaven. And when God turns that wheel and keeps you alive, sometimes he's saying, you're not ready for heaven, right? You got more work to do. But, you know, it's a self wants to be saved and self appreciates being saved. And I, you know, and I get it. But it is the evolution of getting sober and realizing that it's less about the celebration of us not drinking and more about realizing that, you know, we are self-centered people, you know, and we don't have enough God in our life. And it's a trip. It's a trip. I mean, how I felt about that when I came in compared to how I feel about it today, completely different. Absolutely, completely different. And I went to a meeting last night. It's a fucking great meeting. It's actually my home group. And two guys celebrated last night together. One had 35 years, and one had 45 years. And so between the two of them, they had 80 years of sobriety. And I know both of them. I've known both of them. Obviously not their whole sobriety, but I've known them through my whole sobriety. And you know, it's, you know, December 22nd, I will celebrate 15 years of sobriety, but I've been doing this a long time. I came into the program in 97 and I did drink after 5 years, and I don't have an asterisk by that because it, you know, I chose to drink. But what I do remember is that I've spent a lot of time in meetings, right? I was meetings for 5 years. Drank, came back to get some more meetings, you know, doing more meetings, changed my sobriety date because of pills, more meetings. And that's what I said in the meeting last night. And to these two gentlemen, I said, you know, guys like you, when I came into this program, I was a blank slate, right? I mean, I was actually worse than a blank slate. You know, I had history. And so when I came in, and I talked to one of the guys, Don, after the meeting, I told him, you know, when I went into this, when I started this journey, it was from getting punched in the face. I was admitted into the hospital here in the town, and I went there to hide, right? I don't want to explain what I've gotten myself into again, so I'm going to go hide in the hospital for 5 days. And AA came and found me. He came up there and brought me down, and you know, it's funny, I heard somebody, I don't know, I think I shared that I've sort of been deep diving in some of these biographies of people that have been alcoholics and figured out how to get sober or whatever it is. And it's interesting because one of the people on one of those shows said that he had gone to an AA meeting and that all the old guys laughed at him. And so he left and didn't come back. And I was like, oh, I can't believe that. But when I think about it, when I came down, you know, AA came and got me up in the fifth floor and brought me down to that meeting. And I won't say everybody laughed at me, but a couple guys laughed. Like, oh, man, you're in the right place, right? You know, slight bits of humiliation, embarrassment, especially for a guy like that, for a guy like me at that time who was so just overfloweth with ego, right? Everything is, oh, you're talking about me? You laughing at me, right? Poor me. And just, you know, and they did sort of laugh at me. And I was like, you know what? That's fine. I'm a fucking idiot. That's what I get. And luckily, I didn't turn away. But I remember sitting down at that first meeting. And Don and this other guy that, Kent, were sitting there back then in 97, right? And I shared to them last night. I said, you know, it's because of guys like you that taught me how to have a conversation, right? Taught me how to shake a person's hand. Taught me how to listen, taught me how to, you know, walk the line between, you know, razzing somebody a little bit, but also showing them that we love them, right? It's a technique that keeps you with your feet on the ground, but still saying, hey, man, we love you, right? There were so many things to learn without even opening a book, right? I didn't even have to say anything. I was the guy that had nothing to say, right? If I was going to say something, I wanted to save the whole room. But if I didn't, I didn't want to say anything. And my temporary sponsor says, just sit there. You have nothing to say. And I was like, okay, I'm with that. But it was people like Don and Kent who taught me, right? And I just would sit back and watch. And because I had been on such a bad path for so long that I didn't know how to be a middle-aged man, right? Everything I did prior to that was because I was looking for something. Everything I did prior to that was because I was in full fear, scared to death, right? Everything I did back then served me. And that's a hard habit to break. First of all, it's not fun to learn that that is what's really going on either. But there was no, you know, welcome, sit down, this is what your problem is. You know, it took time. I tell this to people all the time. There is no magic bullet. You know, like I told Don and I told Kent, I remember coming to a meeting every day. People say, oh, I did a 90 and 90. I just fucking went to meetings every day. My schedule was, someone told me early on, if you could drink every day, which I did, then you can go to a meeting every day. And when they said that to me, I was like, you know what? That's a good point. And of course I did a 90 and 90 and I shared, I did 120 meetings in 90 days. Like I was doubling up because I wanted to be great at this. Self still showing itself. Right. But I would later learn, you know, you don't have to kill yourself doing this. Just do what you're supposed to do. No more, no less. Do a meeting every day. It doesn't say do 3 meetings a day, right? Unless I just have nothing to do, right? If I'm not working, right? If it's either go to a meeting or go hang out with the guys, you know, probably go to a meeting, right? We have a big alkathon today down in Oak Orchard. I remember when I got sober, when I first came into the program, we used to do a lot of alkathons for Christmas and Thanksgiving. We sort of got away from it during the pandemic. I mean, I know we've done it the last couple of years, but there was a period where we sort of got away from it. I was like, how are we getting away from doing these alkathons? They're so awesome. But we're doing one today. I don't know if I'm going to get to go. But, you know, back in those days, I just went to a meeting every day. You know, Monday night, soup kitchen. Tuesday night, hospital. You know, and there was also a lot more. There was a lot of great meetings at the hospital where I got sober. But it was Monday night, soup kitchen. Tuesday night, the hospital. Wednesday night, I think it was St. Epworth. Thursday night, the hospital. Friday night, St. Edmunds. Saturday night, the hospital. Sunday night, the hospital. There was 4 meetings back in those days at the hospital. And I used to go to one I went to all of them. I had commitments at the hospital. I used to have to get the cart out of this little closet. I used to have to go find security. And, you know, it was what we did. You know, there was no magic bullet. There's no hand that gets waved over you and this becomes a part of your life. You have to freaking grind through it. And I still go to a lot of meetings today, and that's so do those guys. I mean, I see those guys at meetings all the time, 45 and 35 years. You would think at some point you don't have to go to meetings anymore. You would think that, but that's not reality. Self would think that, but that's not how it works. You know, the founders of this program wrote it in at the end. Now that you've had these steps working your life, your job is to be here for the next person. And if it wasn't for Don and Kent being there, because when I came in, so if I have celebrate 15 years, so, you know, that meant Kent had 20 years already and Don already had 30 years. They didn't have to be there. They didn't have to do anything. But as two people that work a program that wants sobriety, they know they have to be there for the next person. And they were there, and they taught me. And I hadn't, for a long time, never had a conversation with either one of them. And they taught me through their behavior and as being an example of people in this program. And I just had to thank them last night. It's just awesome. And, you know, the program and getting sober has changed. It's changed even since I came in. I've heard back in the day these old-timers, right? Sit down, shut up, right? They were fucking sounded like pretty ruthless people. But they knew that's what we needed. We're spoiled little babies, right? You need to be treated like a spoiled baby. Sit down, shut up. A lot of people can't handle that today. No one ever told me to sit down and shut up. They were a little more gentle, but I'm sure back in the day they were pretty hardcore, and there were still some hardcore guys. And you know, and for me, the reality is I get it today. You know, I don't want to be a curmudgeon-y old timer, right? But there are people that should sit down and shut the fuck up, right? There are people that are so twisted and wrapped up in self, they feel like everything is a celebration for them. And, you know, I said the other night at my buddy's celebration, I go, man, it takes a lot of work to be sober. I mean, a lot of work to be normal, right? We can't freaking pull a ligament patting ourselves on the back for doing something we shouldn't have been doing in the first place. You know, yay, you didn't crash a car this year. Good for you, right? This isn't a celebration. You shouldn't have fucking been doing that in the first place, right? But we can't say that anymore because, you know, everybody's got feelings and stuff, and I get that. But, you know, my personal opinion, and this is obviously personal, but, you know, we should go to, if you're new, you should go to a meeting every day until, I don't know, you know, and if you can't go, don't go, but every meeting, every day. If you drank every day, you should go to a meeting every day because you never know who's watching you, right? You never know who's looking at you as an example. You know, one thing I've learned also about this program is the door is always rotating, right? People always coming in and out of these rooms. You know, even in my time, and the pandemic was a trip because there was a big pause in there. And prior to the pandemic, I shared this before. I was going to so many meetings prior to the pandemic, but I was getting this sort of cynical. The devil was starting to creep back into my life. And the pandemic hit, and I was sort of not going to that many meetings when this all happened. And, I don't know what was going on. You know, I was a little bit unaware of what was going on. Now, when I look back at it, I had a real revelation during the pandemic. When I got, when the meetings started opening up and I started coming back to meetings, I started to have this real revelation about what this was all about. Interestingly enough. And all of a sudden I was like, what? Holy crap, right? And I just started to understand a few things and started to understand the steps. And I thought I had it all figured out. And I didn't. And I don't. The one thing I know is I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility. Right? And, you know, like the other night, it's all about the alcohol and I drink too much of this. And it's a spiritual malady. Right? And what does that mean? When I first came in and heard that, I didn't know what that meant, right? It sounded like I needed to go to church, and that's not what I've learned, right? It's just a lifestyle, right? It's either you're living a God lifestyle or you're living a devil lifestyle. And for a long time, I lived a devil's lifestyle, right? Serving me. Every day I got up, it was about serving me. What can I get? How am I going to get it? At the expense of everybody, right? And then today, though, I try to live in a God lifestyle, which isn't as much about me. I'm not perfect, right? I still am a human, damn it. But I'm aware of it, right? And I try to be better. I am a lot better. I am 100 times better than the way I used to be, but I'm not perfect. But it's a... it's just a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful life. It was really cool to see those guys celebrate. And, you know, I don't think people realize how much they help people just by being there, right? Just over time, just sitting there. Like I said, when I came in, I didn't even know how to have a conversation with another human, right? I mean, of course I did. I wasn't illiterate, but I didn't understand if I was having a conversation, usually the reason was I wanted something. And to have conversations with people today when I don't have to want something is really cool, right? I don't need to live like that, and I'm just really grateful for that. So, I don't know. I'm just grateful. It was cool to see those guys celebrate. It is Thanksgiving. I hope everyone's having a is going to have a great day. Like I said, I don't know if I started to say this. You know, this used to be a big drinking day for Tom. Ooh-wee. A lot of bad memories for Thanksgiving. Usually with my father and my uncle. Usually, you know, we would get drunk, you know. And my mom would tell me, don't drink hard liquor today, okay? Keep it to beer, because if you do, actually, mom would say, don't drink too much, all right? Because every time I would drink too much, me and my father would get into a fight. And it would be loud, and it would be ugly, and it would be like the end of the world, right? And it was all because of alcohol. And today, oh my gosh, don't have to be like that today. In fact, it was funny, though. This is kind of weird, but my dad, you know, my dad lives on his own, and then we sort of take care of him. You know, he comes over to our house. My brother comes down, and I talked to my dad the other day, and he's like, yeah, me and your brother we're just going to hang out and do our own thing. And I was like, oh, okay. Meaning he's not coming over for Thanksgiving. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, so tell the wars not to worry about us. And I was like, oh, all right. And, you know, yada yada. And we hung up, and I was annoyed. Right. I'm like, why? It's so typical of our family too. We just have never been able, you know, I look at like my wife's family, and I look at, you know, it's not hard to find families that like to celebrate the holidays together. Right. And they come from miles around to celebrate. And, we live down the street from each other, and we can't seem to fucking get it together. Right. And I told my dad that. I'm like, you know, this is the time. This is so typical of our family, too. I mean, even when my mom was alive, even when our family was in full force, right, everyone was still alive. You know, some of us were in Oklahoma. Some of us were down in Arkansas. Some of us were here in Delaware. And we could never quite get it all together. Even when we came here, like my uncle and his, you know, those folks, I'm not a big fan of them. They always treated us badly because they, my brother and I were adopted, so they never felt like we were really part of the family. I guess I understand that, but you know, fuck them. Oh, whoa, not very Thanksgiving-like, but that, you know, that's how they are. I would find this out later from my dad, who would tell me. I always just thought we just had like tension, but they never liked us. They didn't like us being part of the family, being adopted, and so regardless, even like when we, you know, for a while we would go over to their house or they would come over to our house, but there was always tension. And then one time they just didn't invite us. They invited my father. They didn't invite the kids. And from that point on, I was like, you know what? New problem. We do not talk to them anymore, unfortunately. I was cutting my uncle's hair for a while, but, you know, he's a bum. I'm not a big fan of his. You know, he's one of these people that he ruins lives, right? He ruins lives. That's unfortunate. Hope he gets better. But so when my dad told me that that him and my brother were not coming over, I was like, okay, but I was annoyed to the core, and I said, fine, and I told my wife, yeah, my dad and brother aren't coming. Why not? I go, I don't know. And then, of course, we start speculating, right, and start going deep into the mind of figuring out what's behind it. But I was like, you know what? That's up to them. That's fine. And so we got home. My dad let us know. We were driving back from New Jersey, and so he let us know on the road. And we'd gotten home, and I was sitting around, and then I got a call from my dad. You know, it's funny. My father starts to – my dad, it's so funny. My dad has, like – he is not from a generation of a bunch of feelings, right? He does not really give a shit. He'll say whatever he wants to say at any expense, at the cost of whoever. And he's always been like that. And I don't understand it, but it's just the way he is, and nothing I can do about it. But he is starting to get some feelings, right? And so, like, he'll say things, and then, you know, in the past, he'd be like, whatever, that's what I said. If you don't like it, don't tough shit, right? But today, you know, he'll call and he'll say, oh, I hope I didn't upset Christine. Right? I'm like, no, you're good. So I knew I'd be getting a call from him. And like, you know, like usual, I got the call. Him explaining, he's like, did you make it home all right? I was like, yep. And that's testing to see where we're at, right? I think we all do that when we have tension. How's everything? So you got home okay? And then he proceeded to start to explain how come they weren't coming over. And I said, listen, you know, I'm not gonna lie. We're disappointed, especially because we've been talking about Thanksgiving with my father for the last, you know, 2 months. And so for my brother to come down and say, yeah, let's do this, and him say, yeah, that's what your brother want to do. I said, oh, I guess. I was like, you know, we're disappointed, but we understand. I said, but you know, Dad, this has always been our problem. We've never been able to quite get it together, right? You know, I mean, 364 days a year, one day out of the year, we should be able to, you know, come together and have a celebration. And so then my brother called, and then we get it all worked out. It was not, I think it's just, I'm not sure what was really behind it. I don't know, but they're coming over. We're going to watch some football, and we're going to have a great day. I hope, let's see, I've already went over time. Oh, well, I'm sorry. Maybe let's see if I can read the Daily Reflections, and then I will get out of here and let everybody, not like everybody sitting here listening to this podcast, but I hope, you know, get to have a great day with family. Let's see, November 23rd, hold your face to the light. Believe more deeply, hold your face up to the light, even though for those moments you do not see. And that's as Bill sees it. Let me read that again. Believe more deeply. Believe more deeply. Hold your face up to the light, even though for the moment you do not see. Faith, right? Let's see. That's as Bill sees it, page 3. One Sunday in October, during my morning meditation, I glanced out the window at the ash tree in our front yard. At once, I was overwhelmed by its magnificent golden color. As I stared in awe at God's work of art, the leaves began to fall, and within minutes, the branches were bare. Sadness came over me as I thought of the winter months ahead. But just as I was reflecting on autumn's annual process, God's message came through. Like the trees stripped of their leaves in the fall, sprout new blossoms in the spring, I had had my compulsive, selfish ways removed by God in order for me to blossom into a sober, joyful member of AA. Thank you, God, for changing seasons and for ever-changing life. Yeah. You know, that is one of the things, at least for me, it was hard for me to see changes. But looking back, I can see all the changes I've made in my life. And one of the things I've learned is that there's never a time where we stop changing, right? I've even changed. I've reverted, right? I've gone back to where I unfortunately was. And it's on a daily basis, right? Every day, I said in the meeting, coins are great for self, you know, self loves coins and self loves time. But the reality is every day we start off fresh. And I can be as sober as a judge, right, but still, like, you know, be annoyed and frustrated and get caught up in self and try to, you know, not get too wound up. So it's one day at a time, but, you know, I've seen a lot of changes. And the biggest change I've seen in my life is that I've become willing to make changes. And I think that's important, at least for me. I hope everyone has a great holiday. Enjoy. Drive safely. Watch out for the drunks. Don't drink if you've got struggles. And, talk to you later. Bye. They don't know. If they stick to this path, there'll be nothing else left to defend. They don't know. Instead of finding a cure, we should look for the means to prevent. They don't know. We can talk to the Lord. There's no need for a special event. Repent. 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 Cause we're two steps away from a real disaster. Think they're the boss, but oh, we're the master. Life's at a pace, everything's much faster. Need to slow down and pray. Forgive them. Two steps away from a real disaster. Think they're the boss, but oh, we're the master. Life's at a pace, everything's much faster. Need to slow down and pray. Check the state of the world we live in. Can't you see it's a crying shame? Forgive them. Leadership fails before it begins, motivated by personal gain.